of the rut and back in the groove. That's what happens when you make it Pepsi-Cola. Thirst is out, because Pepsi cools it fast. Taste is in, right on target. Hey, everybody, always ask for Pepsi-Cola. You're in the Pepsi generation.
Yeah, come alive. You're in the Pepsi.
That was fun. It Just Won't Be That Way by The Gurus on the album It Just Won't Be That Way, Everybody's Got To Be Alone Sometime. And before that, It's Unfair by Unrelated Segments. Before that, In My Own Time, The Patterns, Till Then by The 13th Floor Elevators on the album All Time Highs. She Was Mine by Bose Jens from the album Back From The Grave 03. Hi to Kev on the chat board. Request lines are open at 516-654-4059. Call or text 516-654-4059. Now, back to the show.
Thank you. You're tuned to Sinner's Crossroads Gospel Broadcast this evening on WFMU. My name is Kevin Nutt, and we just heard The Silver Heirs with JoJo Wallace and Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. And JoJo Wallace, who passed away early in May at the age of 98. Singer and guitarist JoJo Wallace, JoJo Henry Wallace, singer, guitarist, last surviving member of the gospel quartet, the Sensational Nightingales. He died Wednesday, May 7th. The group announced on social media. Wallace's career spanned more than 70 years, helping shape the sound of quartet gospel with his smooth tenor voice and distinct guitar style. A beloved presence in the churches across the United States, Wallace continued performing well into his 90s. Founded in 1942 in Philadelphia by Barney Parks, formerly of the Dixie Hummingbirds, the group originally performed as the Nightingales, and after relocating to Goldsboro, North Carolina in 1946, they rehearsed for a month before their debut performance, which was so electrifying, they became known as the Sensational Nightingales. Wallace joined the group in 1946 and remained a key member as the ensemble rose to national prominence. Often called the Gales, and the Gentlemen of Song, the quartet went on to record with Peacock Records and other labels, producing gospel hits, including Morning Train, Somewhere to Lay My Head, and It's Gonna Rain Again. The high-energy performances and spiritual message earned them invitations to major festivals and programs across Germany, France, Austria, Belgium, and Tunisia. Born October 4th, 1926 in Williamston, North Carolina, Wallace was the youngest of several children in a musical family. His mother, Annie Bell, played the pump organ and sang. He taught himself guitar as a child by mimicking the finger placements of his older brother, Johnny. In 1934, his mother and siblings moved to Philadelphia, leaving Wallace to finish school in Williamston. Once the family was established, a note with directions was pinned to his shirt, and he was placed on a bus to join them. In Philadelphia, he and his brother formed a group called the Silver Heirs, which became regulars on WCAU Radio. And I want to thank Philadelphia Inquirer's James Jackson, reading from the obituary, nice obituary in the Philadelphia Inquirer. And we're going to learn more about JoJo Wallace and all things gospel this evening, because we are super honored, and I'm also been a little nervous this whole week to have our guest, the mighty Tony Halbert, that will check in. Tony, do you have thoughts on the Silver Heirs record we just heard?
you know, hearing it again reminds me just how gorgeous that period was. You know, I'm a champion of what I call the Golden Age.
Oh, yeah.
1945 to 1960. Because I wrote the first gospel book, I could claim that as the Golden Age. If you were a fan of a cappella quartet, as many of your listeners are, they might say 1935 to 1950. And if you like the choirs, you might say another period. But that period, by the way, Giorgio is not singing lead. I forget the name of the lead. Doing that beautiful high tenor in the background.
Yeah.
And he retained that tenor to the very end. We had a friendship of over 60 years, and the last time I spoke to him, the same high, clear voice.
Yeah.
And wow. We were very, very good friends.
And the voice you're hearing once again, Tony Halbert, author of The Absolutely Essential Gospel Sound. It's been in print since it first came out. And also the highly interesting...
The Fan Who Knew Too Much.
The Fan Who Knew Too Much. And if you read the book, it is too much. It's like a cross between Kenneth Anger's Hollywood Babylon and the style of Thomas Mann, if you will.
But I did write a book about Thomas Mann. And
yeah.
I discovered I have a Wikipedia biography, and they seem to find that kind of strange that I wrote these highbrow books and that I've been such a longtime lover of black gospel. But I think Golden Age Gospel was just maybe the greatest singing this continent has produced. But
yeah, no argument here.
But I'm biased.
Yeah, no, I mean, no argument here. After JoJo left the Silver Heirs, do you know how he hooked up with the Nightingales?
No, I would think I can see Barney Parks' hand in it. Barney Parks was involved with several quartets,
uh-huh.
And he was with the original bunch of the Hummingbirds. He was with the Hummingbirds before Ira Tucker.
Uh-huh.
And later on, he worked with the Gales. He married a very great singer, Edna Gelman Cook.
Wow, yes.
Who made those spectacular recordings with the Radio 4.
Yeah.
The Evening Sun Goes Down, Somebody Touched Me. This Walk with the Valley, songs like that.
Yeah.
And the Radio 4 went on their own. And Barney Parks understood quartets so well that he would bring these country boys into Edna's quartet. He was not generous, and the guys got a sense of the road. And
we'll have links to Anthony's webpage and to books on the playlist, which you should already be at wfmu.org. Click on playlists and comments. We'll have pictures of Anthony and JoJo Wallace, of course, and some other information. You should check that out. So JoJo's with the Sensational Nightingales. They signed with Peacock Records. We could say the rest is history. We want to talk.
Very complicated history.
Yes.
The Gales' first lead singer, and to my mind by far the greatest, was Julius Cheeks.
Oh,
A.K.A.
Yeah.
June Cheeks.
Oh, yeah.
Like many quartets, the Nightingales were famous womanizers. And,
you don't say.
June and frequently had to leave the Gales because of issues of that sort. To give you an idea, in a way, of just how rugged the world was back then, a few years ago, I was called by my very great friend, Inez Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Kevin, you played one of the recordings that were issued by Inez when the gates spring open, Tarling.
Oh, yeah, my goodness. Oh, yeah.
And anyway, Inez called me to tell me that she had just attended the funeral of one of the last of the Golden Age quartet singers. And she says to me, Tony, Do you not know that this gentleman has 65 children? And I said, because that's how I talk, sweetheart, that's enough for his own congregation. And she said, as she would, Tony, you're dismissed. Go to your room. But she was laughing. Except, you know, it's not funny, you know.
I'm coming up. To your mind. If you read in the Bible and you read it well, you know the story
that I'm about to tell.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. That I'm about to tell. Sister Mary, she was. Yes, it was
name,
my Jesus' name.
Name, name, name.
There was one for the Father.
There was one for the Son.
And that
yeah, one for the Holy Ghost.
I know
and they all makes one.
Yes, it do.
One,
yes, it do.
One,
I know they all makes one.
One, one, one.
When I get to heaven.
Coming up, Lord,
Joe, this is quite significant. After June Cheeks left, his replacement was Charles Johnson.
Yes.
A few years ago, I put together a CD DVD called How Sweet It Was, and there's a clip of the Nightingales with Charles Johnson singing one of June's biggest hits, Somewhere to Lay My Head.
Yes.
And he's real good, but he ain't no
yeah,
June Cheeks.
That's true.
And there are, you can find on YouTube clips of June traveling with his quartet, who he called the Sensational Knights, in case you didn't get the message.
Yeah.
And I mentioned earlier Edna Gellman Cook. He met Edna Cook's pianist, Marge,
yeah,
and married her.
Wow.
And anyway, all of this was pretty well known. So there's another clip on YouTube, a reunion of the record label Malaco, you know, which
yes,
took over Savoy. But this included many artists and the Nightingales. And it opens up with JoJo, who never sang lead, as far as I know,
uh-huh,
but was often the group's narrator. And he gets up and he comes on with a very long testimony, saying, you know, that he knew that he had no wisdom right, and that his mama had said, you could sing a lie as well as you could tell it. And he does it with his typical charm. So
yeah,
he's both an evangelist and kind of a comedian. And he really sets it up. And after that, the fellows do a fine job at the meeting. And that's what JoJo would do in later years. In the beginning, he wasn't talking so much, but in the last years, as I said, there wasn't a program in which he, you know, he would discuss his history, and that became a very important part of the Gale's presentation.
You know, you hear that guitar lick at the meeting on so many subsequent gospel records. Either it's a rearrangement of the song, or they just throw it.
As far as I know, that was Charles Johnson's composition. Charles was a very good composer. But he admitted to me, I can say that he's not here anymore.
Uh-huh.
He knew that he couldn't compete with June, but he was tall and good looking and all that stuff. But you look at those clips of June, and it's pretty late in the evening, and he's been sick, and his voice is all shot, but that is one commanding presence.
Yeah.
And that was one reason that to give the, you know, to Gale's more impact, in other words, to get the lady shouting more quickly, JoJo would come on with his testimony. And then Charles figured out, he wrote a song called It's Gonna Rain, which was very relaxed and low key.
Yeah.
People said it reminded them of the Golden Gates.
Wow.
And after that, he would write those kind of relaxing songs, and the Gales didn't have to work nearly as hard. JoJo would still give his testimony, but they were no longer there as the house-wrecking quartet.
Yeah.
But as the quartet that gave us, you know, I want to be at the meeting, or it's going to rain.
I want to be at the meeting. I want to be at the meeting. I want to be at the meeting.
When all the saints get home after separating of the right and the wrong, I want to be at the meeting
around the throne.
Oh yes. After the separating of the right and the wrong, I want to be in the number.
Oh yeah.
With
when the saints go marching home. Trouble will be over, sorrow will be gone. Then we'll have a meeting
around the throne.
Oh yes,
I want to be at the meeting.
Yes, I did.
I want to be at the meeting. I want to be at the meeting.
When all the saints get home after separating of the right and the wrong, church, I want to be at the meeting
around the throne.
Get the journey, walk journey like a man. Buckle my sword right off my side, stick it in the golden sand.
Oh yeah,
talk to God the Father.
Oh yes, I will.
Talk to God the Son. Then we will have a meeting
around the throne.
Yes, we will.
Oh yeah. I want to be at the meeting.
Yeah.
I want to be at the meeting.
Yes, I do.
I want to be at the meeting.
When all the saints get home, church after separating of the right and the wrong, I want to be at the meeting
around the throne.
I like this verse right here. When I get to heaven, I'll meet my mother there. This is what she'll say. God Almighty, here come a child, he must guide here by prayer. I'll be at home. We'll sing a brand new song. Then we will go to the meeting
around the throne.
Say it one more time.
Yeah. I want to be at the meeting.
Yes, I do.
I want to be at the meeting
where Jesus is.
I want to be at the meeting
when all the saints get home. Ooh, after separating of the right and the wrong, church, I want to be at the meeting
around the throne.
Oh, it's gonna rain.
It's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure
showed him the
rainbow sign.
He said
it won't be water, but fire next time.
Listen, way back in the Bible days, Noah told the people it's gonna rain. But when he told them, they paid him no mind. And when it happened, they was left behind. I tell ya,
it's gonna rain.
Get ready,
it's gonna rain.
Lord, you better get ready
and bear this in mind. God showed
him
a rainbow sign.
He said
it won't be water, but fire next time.
Listen, church, they tell me when the water began to pour, they knocked on the window, they knocked on the door. They didn't know exactly what to do. Now you don't want this to happen to you. I tell you,
it's gonna rain.
Do you believe
it's gonna rain?
Lord, you better get ready.
sure don't. A rainbow sign,
he said,
it won't be water, but fire next time.
This is what Noah told.
Noah said, I'm sorry, my friend. God's got the key. You can't get in. If something don't happen to the hearts of man, the same thing is gonna happen again. I tell you,
it's gonna rain.
Children,
it's gonna rain.
You
better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows,
show him
a rainbow sign.
He said
it won't be water, but fire next time.
And then Charles went on his own.
Yep.
And as far as I know, he was mostly singing in white venues.
That's where I saw him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to work nearly as hard because, you know, pretty much the whole point in gospel in that day was who could get the most shouts, who could get the people happy.
Yeah.
Quote. And obviously that was, you know, not demanded if you were singing in those venues.
Yeah, the voice you're hearing is Mr. Anthony Halbert, author of Gospel Sound, and the fan who knew too much. Two essential books to read about the gospel world. And Anthony has been dead center in the gospel world since his teen years and has remembered every conversation, a comment that he has ever had. And he's much beloved in the community itself. And
maybe perhaps not universally.
So what should we play next?
A few years ago, I had a little label, Spirit Feel Records, which is distributed by Shanaki, a larger label, but you can't, there's no way of getting smaller since Spirit Feel was one man.
Yeah.
And I put out a CD called Kings of the Gospel Highway.
Yes.
And I was very proud of it, and, you know, I really wanted almost to be, and this is kind of nervy, to be almost like a definitive anthology. And I included six of the greatest lead singers, June Cheeks. I'm looking at the cover, Archie Brownlee of the Blind Boys.
Yes.
R.H. Harris, and one of the great thrills of my life was, well, that sounds kind of hyperbolic, but was producing R.H. Harris's comeback records. And underneath is a photo of the guy perhaps I was closest to, Reverend Claude Jeter of the Swans.
Yeah.
Because Jeter lived in New York just a few blocks away from me.
Uh-huh.
And then Kylo Turner of the Pilgrim Travelers, who, according to everyone, back then in the late 40s and the early 50s, was, quote, the baddest man on the road. And then I had Silas Steele. I don't include one of my great favorites, Ira Tucker. And I can never forget, because the first record songs I ever produced were a session with the Birds, Dixie Hummingbirds.
Yes.
But anyway, on that anthology, I included four cuts by the Gales, which and here's one that I think shows JoJo having a lot of fun, you know, in the background as a tenor. Lord have mercy.
Well, then I see 4 and 20 elders on their knees. I see 4 and 20 elders on their knees. Well, they all rise together, and they'll face the rising sun, crying, Lord, have mercy, if you please. I see mothers on their knees. I see mothers, sons, and daughters on their knees. Well, they'll all rise together. They'll face the rising sun, crying, Lord, have mercy, if you please. I see fathers, sons, and brothers on their knees. I see fathers, sons, and brothers on their knees. Well, they'll all rise together. They'll face the rising sun, crying, Lord, have mercy, if you please.
Confederate flag. I remember one day I went out to pray. I met old Satan. I was on my way. He said, my child, I know you're too young to pray. I made him out alive. I kept on my way. I kept saying, I kept praying. Lord, when I get to heaven, I'll jump and bat a child. See nobody there to turn me out. I'll step right over, put on my shoes, walk all around, spread the news. Lord, 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 I'm singing, Lord.
Well, I see 420 elders on my knee.
I see 420 elders on my knee. Well, the Lord has given
me faith, rise and sun. Sing it, Lord,
have mercy if you please.
Well, I see mother, sons, and daughters on my knee. Well, I'm mother, sons, and daughters on my knee.
JoJo Wallace with the sensational Nightingales. Lord have mercy.
And playing the guitar. The first lead was a fellow named Ernest James, who had sung with the Hummingbirds, but then you hear June Cheeks in prime form, you know. June had this brings back, I told you the story, you might find it very amusing. I was once in the Nashville airport. I had produced something for Shannon Williams, Nashville Records, and I found myself face to face with Wilson Pickett.
Wow.
You remember Wilson Pickett?
Absolutely, yeah.
And I had heard from A&R men that he was, you know, kind of rugged, rough, the wicked Mr. Pickett.
Yes.
But I really wasn't going to let the harvest pass, as they say.
Yeah.
So I had the nerve to say, Mr. Pickett, you have the same Cherokee good looks, Cherokee being, you know, sort of folk word for half black, half Native American, as my good friend June Cheeks. He grinned from ear to ear. June Cheeks was his inspiration. And we sat in the Nashville airport for an hour, doing all kind of quartet trivia, you know, who was the best second tenor. And then we got kind of silly, and I said, who wrecked the most houses while drunk? And just hearing June again, he was sensational. And by the way, and this is, you know, I guess I'm a cultural historian, and so one of the, June had a daughter, Judy, who had a career as a semi-soul singer. But the last I heard, she wrote a book about her. By the way, she wrote a book about her father. And she's married to an Englishman, and one time she called me, and I asked what her husband did, and she said, he's a barrister. It's sort of wonderful, because June Cheeks was famous for telling everyone he couldn't read or write.
Yeah.
And his daughter's married to a barrister.
Wow. You know, that just, you know, what I've gleaned over the years is, with Wilson Pickett is, just be yourself. And he wouldn't get in your face, you know, and he knew when people were being sincere and honest, you know. But if you weren't,
yeah, well, it was a very nice memory, and
good for
I
you.
Think I told you my life has been trailed by some
weird
coincidences,
yeah.
And that was one.
You know, he was born about 3 miles, 4 miles, just north of where I sit, in Prattville, Alabama.
No kidding.
Yeah.
He wrote something. You know, I have written a bit about, but not very much, because it's very depressing, about the terrible times that so many of the gospel people had as children.
Oh,
Wilson Pickett wrote, I'm not, you know, this is not gossip. He wrote that his mother was so terrifying, beat him so hard, that he ran away for a week when he was 6 years old.
Wow. Wow. You know, Eddie Floyd, not only does he still... Eddie Floyd?
Yes, sure, yes.
He lives about 12 miles south of here.
Mm-hmm.
He moved back, he was from Montgomery, and he told me the story that he was on, of course, Wilson Pickett was in the Falcons for, you know, a year or so. I don't think he ever recorded with the Falcons.
But and he was also with the quartet, the Violinaires.
Violinaires, yes. And Eddie Floyd told me that they were on a tour, on the tour bus, and it was when Eddie Floyd was with Stax, and they were coming down U.S. Highway 31, and they got close to Prattville, and Wilson Pickett got up and told the bus driver, could you pull over at such and such spot because I wanted to say hello to my mom. And Eddie Floyd said, you from Prattville? He didn't even know. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, well, I'm from Montgomery, man.
Hmm.
That they didn't realize how close together they were. But Eddie Floyd retired here, and he pops up at little clubs and places around town. In fact, I ran into him at a Home Depot a couple of years ago. Sweet guy, super sweet guy.
Oh my goodness, it's even this one. And do you want to play another track?
Yeah.
I would suggest somewhere to lay my head.
I have trials and tribulations. I've been built and I've been scorned. Soon my trials will be over.
I'm so well.
Singers and the Sensational Nightingales had a program here in 1959 at St. Jude, which was the last stop on the 65 march from Selma to Montgomery. St. Jude was. But this was in 1959, and older folks that I've talked to around here over the years, they mentioned that show, highlights of their life.
Mm.
Yeah.
But June Cheeks and And all these things so connected.
Yes.
But as I said, you know, as I said, they want me to write about this stuff, but it's so disheartening.
Yeah.
Because, you know, forgetting about, you know, I'd have to deal with the very, you know, this, you know, the very rough lives that people led, and they were very rough. I gave you an idea, 65 kids, but so many other horrible things. Well, so I'm glad. So, but Junji got me out of my seat. You know, I'm sitting down. I had to stand for June.
Oh, yeah.
I was over the telephone.
Yeah, just now I was, oh, yeah. I was rocking back and forth. Somewhere to Lay My Head, Station of Nightingales with JoJo Wallace, who we are honoring.
Joe sings the first two words, and what I always loved about the Gales is they would keep the tight harmony, while, and that's June at his best, Julius Cheeks singing lead.
Yes.
And, yeah, and you know, it was very funny. That song was such a hit. A year or two after it came out, Marion Williams and the Wood Singers recorded one of the most famous songs, Packing Up, Getting Ready to Go. And it always struck me that it had the same melody.
Oh.
And I, over the years, I helped a lot of the singers who felt that their songs had been plagiarized. Wasn't always the case, but I would find them lawyers or whatever, and I always wondered why Chun Cheeks didn't sue whoever was the man who wrote Packing Up. But anyway, and it is really something, you know, how, as I said, JoJo, and who, by the way, he had on in the background, the baritone was a man named Bill Woodruff, who stayed with him for a very long time, and I think maybe until his death. And I think, I'm not sure who would have been the bass. It could have been a man they called, nicknamed Jeff, John Jefferson, but I'm not sure.
June Cheeks left the Nightingales about 1960?
Yeah, early 60s, and he came back a couple of times. What happened, the Gales were touring with Dorothy Love Coates and the original Gospel Harmonettes. And at that time, the bass of the of the Gales was Carl Coates, Dorothy's second husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew, as you know, I was very, very close to the Harmonettes of Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Dot and Dot Love Coates and Sedition Nightingales with Carl Coates singing bass were back in the road with June Cheeks. And in one way, that was quite an historic thing because supposedly in the golden age, the three greatest house records of the women were Marion Williams, Dorothy Love Coates, and a woman named Ruth Davis. And among the quartets, you know, the famous house records were June Cheeks and Archie Brownlee.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would think that would be a very good tour to have the Harmonettes and the Gales in the same program. But I think, I'm quite sure that Dot, who could be quite powerful, had really never forgiven some of June's behavior.
Yeah.
And so he left, and as I told you, started touring with the Sensational Nights, so there.
Yeah.
And with his wife on piano. So I did see June back with the Gales again, but it didn't last long, and you could feel the tension.
Yeah. Wow.
No, I'm sorry, Carnegie Hall, that's where I first saw them, but then I saw them at the Apollo Theater, which of course was the perfect place for the Gales.
Did JoJo Wallace have a hand in bringing Charles Johnson in?
I first heard Charles Johnson at the Apollo when he was touring with a California quartet called the Gospel Consolators.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so apparent to me that, of course, he was June. Admittedly, with a, you know, kind of a clearer voice, and he was he was doing June's gestures. June was the first, maybe the first quartet singer to do the Holy Dance, to do the shout.
Yeah.
The shout was associated with women or the male gospel singers, and it was pretty widely known most of them were gay. So it was almost considered a feminine thing to do.
Uh-huh.
And but June was pretty bold, and it's interesting. As high-pitched as the Gales' background is because of JoJo's first tenor, the Clouds went way into falsetto, and their backgrounds would be singing, they'd be singing background well in the fifth octave. And Joe Ligon clearly patterned himself on June, and in fact, you know, my first book, The Gospel Sound, I think June said he knows he had the voice, but that I got it up here, pointing to his brain. And I think Joe Ligon would have been the first to it, that, you know, he got everything from, he got much of his vocal sound from June, except he held on to it better.
So they did, they kept putting records out through the 60s as a...
They recorded well.
Yeah.
The Gales recorded, I think, well into the 21st century.
Yeah.
And they had... I forgot the names of some of the later lead singers after Charles left. They did have a second lead, a man who I think is still with them. I think the Gales are still traveling. His name is Horace Thompson, nicknamed Sugar. And guess what? He's another one who first started with Edna Cook and Barney Parks.
Wow.
But anyway, he's been a very devoted, very loyal supporter of JoJo for the years. And if you see the Gales singing I Want to Be at the Meeting at the Malico reunion, I think Horace is Sugar is the first one singing lead. I don't know the name of the second lead.
They did a couple of records, and then you know, I used to end my show in the early years with "Sweet Forever Land." I'm pretty sure it was on Malico. Oh,
they were ABC Paramount. What happened? Peacock went. I think they could have ABC Paramount.
Yeah.
ABC Paramount took over the Peacock line.
Yeah. Those Ira Tucker produced Nightingale's records from the.
I think so. Yes.
Those are great records.
I should mention that It's Gonna Rain, that song that really revived the Gales' prominence, was produced by Ira Tucker, who was not merely, you know, a great lead singer, you know, one of the greatest quartet leads ever, but also a very impressive record producer.
Yeah, I think it was three LPs he produced with the Nightingales in the early 70s.
It could have been more, because I think he did a lot of stuff. And
he was a great producer. Those records are fantastic.
Tucker, and I'm talking about. Well, I'm talking very casually. You can do that at my age. 50 years or more, he was playing with audio equipment, and he was really quite a visionary with the sound.
Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, for lack of a better word, description, some Southern gospel touches on those records.
There's no doubt that there was interaction between white and black Southerners. And I don't know if you know this, Kevin,
uh-huh.
But for many, I've written a few books and produced a lot of records, as you know, and you can find them on my website. And because I'm not very gifted digitally, I hired a web designer from Condé Nast, and mm-hmm. he's the one who uncovered all those great reviews, the books and the records got.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're real nice.
Yeah.
But the fact is, the books and records that I've... We're modest sellers, but for over 30 years... I created anthologies of black and white gospel that were marketed on television, and these did tremendously well. The first one was a black gospel album, And then I suggested to the president of the agency, why don't you do a white? And I gave him some of the hits. He called me the next morning. He says, Tony, this is the worst I've ever heard. I said, give it a chance, and I'll do all of it. I did the commercials. I did the negotiating. I called the, Mr. Benson. Maybe you know the name. He was the head of Heartwarming. He was like the big shot in that. And I don't know. I knew something, and he kept saying, I can't believe a New Yorker knows this. I never met a New Yorker who knows our stuff like this. It was very clear what he was getting at.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it was only, my father was a great diplomat. It was only his strength. You know, his image, because I would have said, yes, you're absolutely right. My father's grandfather was the chief rabbi of England, which he was.
Wow.
Because he was saying, how can a New York Jew know this? But I produced, so I became very familiar with the interaction between white and black gospel.
We want to thank Anthony for the previous hour of amazing stories and songs about JoJo Wallace, longtime guitarist for the Sensational Nightingales, who passed away early in May. 98 years old, still spry and getting around. Please join us next week for part two of the interview with Anthony Halbert, author, record producer. And if you just now listened to the previous 55 minutes, wonderful storyteller. And we will move beyond the Sensational Nightingales next week into just about anything gospel that Anthony wants to talk about. Please join us for that. Stay tuned to WFMU. We need to tell you right now, my name is Kevin Nutt. And the first 5 or 6 years of this program, we always ended the show with the Sensational Nightingales' Sweet Foreverland, and that's what we're going to do tonight. JoJo Wallace on guitar and background harmonies, Charles Johnson, who we also talked about on the show this evening, on lead. Stay tuned to WFMU, brothers and sisters and beloved, and we will see you next week.
That is sweet forever, and it's just across the river where we will never have to cry, and then no sorrow will be in that land. And the praises to our God. I'm gonna hold to the Savior's hand. I've got a home in the sweet forever land. And there'll be bells ringing, the angels will be clapping their hands. There'll be harps a-playing, the people will be singing.
people. It's PJ. And you're listening to Time Out with PJ right here on the Rock and Soul radio stream, WFMU. Good morning. Yes, I am PJ, and I am here with the best dog on the planet. Her name is Mabel, and she is my fluffy co-host. And the two of us have been working diligently to put together a quality show for you. We think we've done it. We are here every Thursday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Daylight Time. We appreciate you tuning in every week. Tell your friends and neighbors if you can. Spread the word. And you know what else we enjoy? We love it when you hop on the live playlist and chat room. Because we can see your names, see what you're thinking, and it's a wonderful way to socialize with your fellow listeners. And I'll tell you, the two of us, we love it. We love seeing you up there. You know, if you can't, that's totally fine too. And also, I want to make sure we say hello to the people listening on the archive. So that's always a good thing as well. Hello, everybody. Oh, you know, this weekend is Father's Day weekend, so I would like to wish happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, past and present. So my dad is no longer here, unfortunately, but wonderful, kind man to me and my brothers, a role model, an amazing piano player, gave me my love of music, and he's listening somewhere, I'm convinced of it. Mabel, you remember hanging out with Grandpa and Grandma, right? Yeah, they loved you. And I want to play this first song that reminded me, when I heard it, of what he used to do to me and my brothers when we were sleeping too late. He would do the old bugle call business. All right, so here we go. The New Orleans Rhythm Kings. Thank you for listening. Time Out with PJ.
What you gonna do about it?
what you gonna do about it? Patience is not a virtue that we can afford. Head bowed down in silence, praying on a just reward. Not gonna wait on changes that never seem to come. My, my, everybody's doing it. My, my, everybody's doing it. My, my.